Welcome to Total Network Operations, the podcast dedicated to hardworking network operators like you who deliver all the packets on the wire and in the air. Here on TNOPS, we want to shine a bright light on great ideas in NetOps so you can take away useful ideas and make informed decisions for your network and your team. I'm Scott Robon, and today we have a very special episode with Meter and the great pleasure of speaking with Anil Varanasi, the co-founder and CEO of Meter. Anil, great to have you here on TNOPS today. Tell us about yourself and what led you to founding Meter.
Sure. Scott, thanks for having me. I'm a network engineer myself. I studied networking in college. And we started Meter about a decade ago. I started with my brother. And fundamentally, what we felt was there weren't great networking products being built across hardware, across software, across applications. So when we started a decade ago, we started with the simple premise of building the entire stack and vertically integrating it across hardware, software operations. So Meter builds everything from security appliances, switches, wireless access points, PDUs, where we design the hardware, manufacture it, then the firmware, operating systems, distributed systems, and applications are all Meter. And we had different opinions than where the industry was going on how to iterate on products, how to integrate them, how to think about packet processing, manipulation, and movement a bit differently, and a different business model. But fundamentally, the goal has been and will continue to be, how can we build the best networking products? And very selfishly, so that network engineers like us actually have great products for themselves.
So I think that's fascinating that you really started on the network equipment and operations perspective. Was that before you had any intention to do a managed service of sorts? So, and you've mentioned like you knew you could do better on certain things, either from the user perspective or in packet processing. Can you give us a couple of examples that really pushed you to say, Meter can do this better?
Yeah, I think to answer your question, I think the question, first question you had was, were we always going to do it the whole thing? And it's been that entirely from the beginning.
Okay.
And we believe having that sort of clarity from the beginning actually helps the choices you make from how you design the hardware, how do you write the software, and what incentives you have in place in your business. We're not looking to just build a bunch of hardware, sell it off for a little bit of margin, and then wash our hands. And that's a huge challenge with the industry up until now. And then second, to your point on examples specifically on how to do it, is when we got started was really around the time when video and other things were taking over the internet, especially on real-time data. And if you looked at any of the data centers, they were doing much better packet processing on speed, reliability, and security. But if you looked at the same counterparts in local infrastructure, somehow they're all based on text files. And even today, when you go look at the best local networking companies and you dig deep and seeing how they actually do it, it's just a bunch of DSL text files that are just sitting there. And where our opinions really started was, why are we not taking the approach of using software better, the approach of how we do packet processing, whether it's user space networking, any of these things on down, why is that not coming down locally? So that's one fundamentally a big thing that we knew we could do differently.
Okay.
Second, all of these products seem to have been built disparately. We've got our classic legacy companies that have been around a long time.
Sure.
And then every new entrant that comes in, they end up building a small sliver of products customers needs and really starting with that wedge and then growing after that. But what happens is the good companies take off and they never end up actually really building the rest of the stack.
Sure.
And then they kind of hit a ceiling and then one of the large players comes by and says, would you like to be acquired? And the answer is yes. And, you know, kind of adds to the portfolio.
You graft it in sometimes yes. Good, sometimes not so good.
Right. And it kind of just keeps going. So we took another part that was entirely different is we said, let's build the entire stack from the ground up. And that's been true from day one and actually integrate the entire thing.
Right.
So today with Meter, everything from ISP procurement, ISP management, ISP billing, to security appliances, firewall, switching, Wi-Fi, SD-WAN, and VPN are all in a single platform. And also what we're announcing is cellular that's going to be on the same platform as well. So having that clarity of saying we will build the entire stack, so it's built to compete with the legacy providers, but a customer and an operator does not have to make a choice saying, oh man, this thing is good, but it's only a partial solution.
Sure.
But we felt if we spent, you know, painstaking years first, we could have a really integrated product where for an operator, you should feel like one company built this. And today when we all use networking products, it feels like 10 different companies built these things.
Very, very few integrated solutions out there. Maybe you can count them on one or two fingers at this point, but with you guys being one of them. So that's it. I've taken the holistic approach for making sure your op stack is integrated, right? And I think you very much have that same philosophy, and you've taken it from a product perspective and a service perspective. Like you just called out that you will manage ISP connectivity for your customers. And that is independent of your gear, right? Yes. So you must have had service design thoughts on this as well that may be just as important as the hardware design things.
For sure. Even on the ISP part, that's our product. It's called Meter Connect.
Mm-hmm.
That customers can use it even without using our gear. But if somebody uses our gear, it's even more integrated. Everything from host monitoring and other things and knowing uptime and all of those things being automated. But even something like Meter Connect, we spent 4 or 5 years building it. And the simplest way to describe it is Kayak or Expedia, but for ISPs. The premise we had internally, even a decade ago when we first wrote the spec for Meter Connect, is I'm able to buy everything on the internet except the internet itself.
Right.
And we wanted to fix that. We felt like for networking teams, it shouldn't take weeks just to know who's available and at what price, and does it meet the requirements they have. But that's been part of the design on how we design the stack, how we design the APIs, and how they all integrate together. It's beautiful to watch somebody have an entire meter rack from PDUs, security appliances, switches, and APs with ISPs that we procured, full host monitoring, full high availability, full kind of stats built in, including alerts, and just have a much better experience as an operator than having to like maintain 4 or 5 different spreadsheets and all this different stuff.
Now, do you have to go and have like specific arrangements with different network service providers? What does negotiation and engagement look like on that front?
Yes, to answer your question, we work with all the large ISPs and all the local ISPs. And because we buy so many connections on behalf of our customers, we tend to get much better pricing, which we pass on to our customers as well. And routinely, customers end up saving a lot of money through using Meter Connect, along with using Meter Network, which is our entire hardware stack as well.
I think I saw a reference on the website too, where if you have a customer that comes along with a better price on local network connectivity, you would actually try to match that or negotiate even better.
100%. And that's part of the service that we do, which is we, again, if you're thinking about a network operator, what we have seen is companies' headcounts grow a lot, but actually networking and IT teams are either stagnant or shrinking.
Sure.
So each of these teams is asked to do a lot more than they used to be. Right. One stat I saw was that in the past, for every 100 people in the company, there used to be one IT person. Today, it's one for every 275 to 300.
Wow.
And that is a lot to manage.
Sure.
While complexity of networking has increased, not decreased, mainly because the number of clients on a network has grown dramatically.
Sure.
And so everything that we kind of do and build is in the lens of we're building for networking operators and networking engineers and others that are actually having to maintain these networks. And if we were on the other side, what are things we would want to be able to have our lives be a little bit easier?
What Let's go back to the equipment and sure. operating system. Now, we're seeing, you know, this transition for some time now of folks who really prefer the CLI mm-hmm. moving to API-based interaction and more automated interaction. Did you take an API-based approach from the start, or do you also internally have the people who still like the CLI to your gear? What did that look like for you internally?
We have both. It's a full API approach from the beginning. Even how the team is constructed is really interesting. There's a lot of people here that have been building incredible networking hardware and software for decades.
Sure.
Along with them, some of the most impressive folks from some of the largest API companies, like public-facing API companies, are all at Meter building out these APIs. So everything that's on our dashboard to our products like Command and Connect and other things are all API driven entirely. And we have people that prefer the CLI. And I prefer the CLI sometimes, and it's been a big driver for why we ended up building Command. And you know, that's how I grew up learning networking in a networking lab. And I'm not sure if I ever will get away from it.
It's very brave of you to admit that. And I mean, my view is, you know, more robust API access right. is better from an automation perspective. The CLI accommodates people who are used to doing things that way.
It's way faster to get information and take action.
Right.
And even to your question on what we think is the future, the combination is a product that we ended up launching about a month and a half ago now that we've been working on for a while. It's trying to think of what's the best of dashboards and APIs and what's the best of CLI, right? The best parts about CLI are that you can get information and take action really fast.
Yep.
The worst part about CLIs is you have to learn the shibboleths of every CLI over and over again.
Right.
Dashboards are really good because they're point and click, but they might be incredibly slow to get things done. Or if you have feature requests, it might take 3 months or 6 months before a vendor actually implements a workflow that you want.
And the CLI focused engineer knows I can get that counter on that interface
yes.
with this command.
That's right.
And many don't trust an intermediary, you know, user interface, right?
So, yeah.
I think that's really smart to be supportive of both. You were going down the path of getting the best out of both. Is that Command? Is that what you refer to as Command? So tell us, expand on that a little bit.
So we were thinking, how do we get the best out of both? Which is if I'm an incredible expert, I love the CLI because I know what I'm doing and I can just get what I want. Or if I'm new to a system, I might say, hey, dashboard's a bit easier for me. I can kind of click around. What Command actually does is kind of brings both of those together, where you can just type in the commands the way you want. And we've built models that will actually generate software entirely on the fly. So that along with the commands, you have software that just generates. And then you essentially have a software engineer sitting right next to you, where instead of waiting for somebody to take your feature request, design it, then do product management, then do the engineering work, and then it gets released, it's just written entirely on the fly. And examples of this is you might say some things like, give me the health of a client and actually give it to me for the last 4 days.
Sure.
Because the user's complaining
all
about something.
All in English, just like that.
Exactly.
And when you say client, how do you refer to the client or the device? What do you mean?
So you can just hit @ like you might do in Slack or Teams.
Sure.
So you can say, give me the health of @ Scott's Dell laptop.
I'm on a Mac, but I'm not anti-Dell. Okay, good example.
Yeah. Right. So saying something like that, and it will go pull all the information. You can just say just like that, as deep of a technical things you want. Maybe you want to use some of the old CLI commands. That's fine too. If you want to talk in like Linux and Unix, you can do that too.
All in the same box.
All in the same box.
Okay.
And command will go write the software so that if you asked for the last 4 days about this client that has to do with usage, that has to do with health, literally at the speed of Google search, it will write out software, what it looks like. You can take multiple of these components. Maybe you have a form that you want to add VLANs, or you're doing a bunch of security work today, so you care about firewall rules, or some clients you want to look at the health for. all of the software is written for you on the fly, and then you just now made your own dashboard. But we really wanted network operators, network engineers to have that much more power. One of the things I felt, even personally as a user, is that as companies have moved towards the dashboard, I felt less powerful. But we wanted to bring that power back.
And you know, that allows you to address the information needs of multiple people in the organization.
That's right.
The people who operate the network, they can go CLI if they want. If they're API and coding literate, they can use the API. But you need dashboards for executives and management that don't want to see all those details. They want to see, is it red, is it yellow, or is it green? So, yeah.
That's exactly right. And that comes from, to your earlier question, because of how the stack is built. The APIs underneath, where those APIs are pulling data from, we built models that can bring everything being real-time data entirely. And that you're actually looking at real-time data. It's not a frozen corpus of information from 6 months ago or 12 months ago. And underneath that data pipeline is our operating systems and our firmware, all bringing in connected and having an opinion on how we build this stuff with the eye towards how can we build better hardware and software for networking teams.
Yeah, the knowing what the inputs are going to be and how I need to process that from a software perspective and a hardware perspective, that vertical integration, there seems to be a swing back in the industry on vertical integration altogether. I don't want to sound like a fanboy, but I read the Musk biography by Walter Isaacson.
I see.
And there's a lot in there about what he's done with vertical integration, you know, for his businesses. So it makes a lot of sense from that perspective.
Yeah, and we really believe if it's tightly coupled together from a unified firmware image through a data pipeline that's unified, through APIs that are unified, through an alerting stack that's unified, and then a management platform that's unified entirely. And it's so nice when our customers that have everything from ISP and now to cellular with security and switching and wireless and ISPs and SD-WAN and VPN all in a single place, it is so useful for them to go do stuff. Like, I'll give you a simple example. Layer 7, DNS security, things like that. Let's say somebody wants to block a particular application. You normally go buy a separate DNS security product. Then you're trying to figure out how to integrate it.
Sure.
Who's going to pay for it? Who's managing it? And if you want to block a particular application, how is even a single VLAN going to traverse through my entire stack and this new application?
Right.
With our DNS security product, for example, you can select the VLAN you want to block something and go as granular as blocking a particular application. It takes a minute or two. And that is an incredible amount of time to save for a networking team that knows what they want. They know this is the application they want to block, but they didn't have to go spend hours integrating it and getting another budget for another product and then figuring out who's managing it and then figuring out, like, how am I actually going to disperse this everywhere?
I'm very much aligned with how do I get better synergy out of my logical network configuration and security mechanisms. Yeah. That's an adjacency that we tend to put in silos way too easily. We did another podcast with one of my other fellow packet pushers hosts on that exactly. So I think that fits right in with that. And security, of course, is much bigger than just network security. But I'm very much aligned with that philosophy. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I think if every security is good, but network security isn't, you're in a bad spot.
Weakest link. Weakest link is how the bad guys get in.
Right? Yes.
So just one last question on the command interface. So is it safe to say that you're basically doing natural language processing, right? You're letting people, you know, type in English. What powers that? You haven't mentioned that it's AI. Are you doing it some other way, or how are you handling that behind the scenes?
Yeah, we don't even like using terms like that.
Sure.
I think it's like when companies end up like trumpeting that stuff, it's basically like, why would I try to tell my customers that I'm using MySQL or Postgres or something. I don't care as a user. Tell me what it means for me.
Right.
We did build models in-house, models that understand how we do operating systems, how our architecture is and how our hardware is built. And then models that understand how we write software and how we design software. But we really just look at it as another tool, right? Just like how we make database decisions or we might write custom software there. We ended up doing models to help serve. And these models only know meter. And there's two advantages that come from that. One is incredible amount of accuracy. What you don't want in enterprise settings is any sort of creativity.
Right. Or hallucinations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creativity is not a feature. It's a bug in the enterprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we wanted incredible amount of accuracy and then speed.
Yeah.
It was very important for us that no matter what a complicated query you might do, one I like to use in examples is something like, hey, go create me this SSID, put it on this VLAN, have the password rotate every day at 2 a.m. and make sure it's on all the APs that are on the west side of the building. That's a very complicated query.
Yes.
We can do that at incredibly high accuracy and that entire thing at the speed of Google search. Both of those are very important for us. So if people are interested, meter.com/command, there's a great video there. We're happy to demo it to folks. But it speaks to the power of Meter's platform on all the investments we made on the hardware side, operating systems, APIs, where it's uniquely possible to do because of Meter. And then our skill set on the models itself for them to be really fast and accurate, all come together. But it speaks to our vertically integrated model of how can we do something that legacy networking vendors cannot.
From an automation perspective behind the scenes,
sure.
Were you able to use tooling out there? Like, are you a big Python shop? Did you have to create your own constructs? How are you doing automations under the hood? And you get as specific or general as you'd like.
Sure. We're old school, a lot of C and some Go and other things these days. We have a slightly different take on automations. Command can do three important things. One is get information. Two is take action. And three is write software for you entirely on the fly. Automation is mainly about two, which is taking action.
Mm-hmm.
Given the stuff is so new and we really care about accuracy, like it's critical infrastructure that affects our customers, we don't have Command today going and doing stuff on its own.
Okay.
What we want to do is put the power of that in the hands of our customers and partners that are network engineers and network operators, where they can say they want something, then that is confirmed, and then it goes and does that. But we want the systems to be much better to be able to do that. And then we felt this intermediate step is very important to actually understand how people are using it, given how powerful it is. Like I mentioned, we announced it about 6-7 weeks ago, and it's gotten a rave response from not just networking, but technology companies in general. And we think if we're careful about learning how people are using it, then we want to bring in how do actually network operators want to have this running automated and say, not only do I want you to do this every 6 hours or do this every 12 hours, whatever. And that should be just as easy to be able to do for network operators.
Yeah, that certainly helps people get comfortable with adoption, right? You keep the human and the click okay to continue.
Yes.
And we've seen it, you know, I use the routing protocol examples,
sure.
Right? We went from really simple RIP to link state flooding, you know, in ISIS and OSPF. And that those are automations that are built in, but it took time, it took use case definition, it took the protocol designers and implementers, you know, years to make sure right. We got the cases right. So I don't see this as that different from wanting to make sure you get it right.
Yeah, we again want to work backwards from our customers, their use cases, and how can we build good products to service that? I hope we never become a company where it says, here's a shiny new technology. I'm just going to badger it down a customer because everybody's doing it. We don't like to take that approach. That's why you'll almost, hopefully, never hear us even say AI, because it's just another tool for us on how can we build good products.
No, I caught that, and you're, the way you were answering, you know, interacting on the questions, and I mean, I think that's wise, because at the end of the day, the customer shouldn't matter how it's getting done.
That's right.
What technologies are being employed is, if you're delivering outcomes that are useful and value added, you know, what does it matter whether I'm doing, you know, linear regression analysis or something that I call machine learning?
Yeah. And that's our approach for hardware building. That's our approach for building APIs and even new products like cellular. All entirely, that's our entire approach, which is, what is the customer problem? What is the partner problem that we're seeing? And are we uniquely situated to solve it? And if we are, can we do it in a way that's better than everything else that's out there?
So you mentioned cellular.
Sure.
Tell me what's happening there and why. Why private wireless?
Yeah. You know, so many of our customers are networking teams. And like I was mentioning, these days, they're asked to do a lot. And cellular is a big part of what networking teams and partners are being able to ask to do in spaces. You've historically had very expensive DAS systems that you have to spend a lot of money on. They get outdated fast, and they're really hard to maintain. And it's really expensive for carriers as well to go maintain these systems, support them, and go install antennas and other things. So what we're doing with Meter Cellular is cellular deployed as easy as Wi-Fi. So just like there is a Wi-Fi access point, there's a cellular access point that can be deployed. And unbeknownst to the end user, there's no new app to download. There's no carrier profiles to download. There's no settings to change. They get full coverage inside of spaces. So the use cases we're seeing are in warehouses, manufacturing, retail, offices, and schools, where not only do they have great requirements for wired and Wi-Fi, but cellular is a big part of how they communicate with the rest of the world.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest barriers to adoption for private wireless is that ease of implementation and use. And it's a carrier technology with completely different identity stores, with radio access planning that you don't have to, you know, Wi-Fi is very familiar to enterprise IT.
Yes.
This is a whole new set of technologies that are new to most enterprise IT shops. That's going to be really interesting to see what kind of impact that has on private wireless adoption.
Yeah, and it's, again, fully integrated in the same platform,
yep,
built with the same principles,
yep,
and built with our vertically integrated model. Again, being able to do that across wired, Wi-Fi, cellular, and ISPs and then applications, that's where we're seeing a lot of value for networking teams.
So let's touch on how networking and operations teams are reacting and interacting. And, you know, you've mentioned a couple times, enterprise IT is just being squeezed and squeezed and asked to do more with fewer resources. What are you hearing and what are you seeing as you see more customers adopt the Meter suite?
Yeah, so that's definitely a big part of it. And another big thing that's been concerning for me the last 5-7 years is, you know, from the top end, we have this issue in IT and networking that we're asked to do more with fewer resources. That's challenging. But from the bottoms up, the other challenge that's happening is we don't have new talent coming in at the rate at which we used to.
I agree.
And that's actually really alarming too. So for example, I studied networking in college. That was my degree. But my university doesn't even offer it anymore.
No, they had a program and they do, yes, not anymore.
They do not anymore.
Interesting.
And I called them about 4 or 5 years ago and I said, what's up? What's going on? They're like, we don't have that much interest anymore.
Interesting.
You've got few and far between people do it. And you know, I have colleagues here from a lot of the universities here in the Bay Area. It's not even part of the entire curriculum anymore to study networking. Hmm. There's a distributed systems class people have, So they understand some of the networking exists.
But just, it has to work. We assume that it's, that's right. It's there.
So it's interesting because like we're getting squeezed from the top end, and on the bottom end, we're not getting new talent to come in. And I'm seeing that a lot from our customers. And Meter, and why they're adopting the Meter platform is, one, better products at the end of the day. They want much better products from a company that cares about networking entirely. And those products should work well together. And it should help service these networking teams to be able to do more, while knowing that it's been harder and harder to go find new talent that even knows networking.
What else should we do on that front? I mean, this has been, I've seen this as a problem brewing for at least 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, when I ran large SE teams and really having to go and persuade and recruit, you know, new college, new and career people. But it's not getting any easier per your comments. And you really discouraged me on a couple of fronts there, but it stayed up. Don't worry, don't take it personally. But I mean, what do you think we should do as an industry on this front?
You know, I've now been studying and working in networking for two plus decades now. And I am possibly more excited about networking now than I've ever been. Dare I say...
I'm with you. Yep.
Dare I say networking is cool again. and...
Always has been.
I think it has, but I think we as, and I kind of put myself in there as somebody who studied networking, is I don't think we've talked enough about the complexity of the problems and the complexity of problems that we're solving for others that might be colleagues or other customers or things like that. What's interesting is even something like when we launched Command, there were so many even new grads that reached out to us and says, this is really cool. And we're like, yeah, networking is cool. There's kind of a lot to do. And the thing that we also are trying to push is giving the sense for the rest of the industry and technology, but broadly, is that literally everything is just packets.
If you are doing something that might be a phone call, that might be a, getting Uber or delivery to anything,
everything is just networking, and everything is just packets entirely. And I think giving that framing has been helpful as well. Whereas we've obfuscated things too much where people don't know that networking exists. But when somebody pulls out their phone and they're like, I want to try Waymo because I want to see what self-driving cars look like. Well, that's only possible because of networking. But we haven't really pushed that narrative enough.
That's a really interesting point. And by obfuscating it and making it look simpler than it is, you don't attract as many engineers who are drawn to complexity and solving problems. I'm writing that down. I will use that. I'm involved in a couple different organizations where we actively try to get new people into the field, and not just new in career college graduates. I think we need to be actively developing, you know, people coming out of the military, even non-degree folks. There's so much that can be done that doesn't require a four-year degree that I think we can do better to invest and encourage.
How's that going, the program you're involved in?
Oh, well, right now it's mostly evangelism.
Okay.
I'm one of the organizations I work with, the U.S. Networking User Association. We have lots of local NUGs.
Oh, cool.
Where we work really hard to bring folks in and work with local colleges, work with, you know, other folks that know new and career folks to get them exposed to other more mature networkers,
sure.
People with a little more gray hair and so forth. But as we're getting close to time and we'll start to wind this down.
Sure.
Is there anything else that you want to hit in the next 3 or 4 minutes that you haven't been able to touch on so far?
I think mainly that we are a group of people at Meter that really care about networking. We think networking can be way better than it currently is today. We think the hardware can be better. Somehow we've all convinced ourselves that hardware is commoditized, and that's sort of become true because nobody's really working on it anymore. We've all convinced ourselves that, you know, the basics of networking are done, and so who cares kind of thing. We actually think basics can be done really, really well. And we've all sort of been okay with disparate products that don't work well together, which we also disagree with. So the main things is everybody that's listening, I think, is are the people that help build networking infrastructure everywhere. And what I'd say is push for products from companies that really care about networking, that have them be entirely integrated, and that will do the basics really right. And I think everything in networking can be implemented way better than it is currently today. And it can all work well together. And we should have the most beautiful products and technology, not just from a pixels point of view,
sure,
but the experience, how they work, how delightful they are. I think we should have all of them in networking, and we should all push for them.
That's a great view into what you are building and delivering. I really appreciate your time on all of this today. Anil, where would you like folks to contact you or find you? What's the best way?
Yeah, we are at meter.com, M-E-T-E-R. And my email is anil@meter.com. I try to answer every single email that I get, and I'd love to hear from folks that are listening.
Really appreciate you putting that out there. Thank you so much for this time today. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this conversation with Anil and Meter. TeenOps is a growing project, and we'd love to hear your feedback, especially topics you'd like us to cover and other people you'd like to hear. If you know someone or you are someone with important things to say about networking and network operations, let us know. These episodes provide a channel for us to promote best practices and big ideas, what's happening in the industry from Meter and many others. Please spread the word on TeenOps and help us all make networking cool again. Thank you, Anil. Let's get others involved in the conversation. You can drop me, Scott Robon, a DM on LinkedIn, or send us a follow-up at packetpushers.net/follow-up. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll see you next time on Total Network Operations.